Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the 3B BlackBio-Dx Limited Q3 FY26 earnings conference call, hosted by Nuvama Wealth and Investment Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Ranvir Singh from Nuvama Wealth and Investment Limited for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Ranvir.
Yeah. Thank you, moderator. So on behalf of 3B BlackBio-Dx Limited, I extend a very warm welcome to all participants on the Q3 FY26 financial results discussion call. Today on our call, we have Mr. Dhirendra Dubey, he's the Chairman and Managing Director, and his team. Before beginning with this call, I would like to give short disclaimer. This call may contain some of the forward-looking statements, which are completely based upon the management's beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. These statements are not a guarantee of company's future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Dhirendra Dubey for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon to all the shareholders and members who have joined. So this is an earnings call post our nine-month number, and as I had a blood letter that I was down with laryngitis. Still, my voice is little this thing, but we thought to conclude this call. So most of you must have seen the numbers presentation. We have closed nine months with a number which is 99.06 crores versus 64.80 crores, which was the previous numbers were without Cohance, and these numbers are with Cohance, so there's a huge growth. But if we talk about 3B alone, then we are growing at almost 11.8% compared to last year. However, if we remove a seasonal spike, which happened due to dengue, flu, and this thing, then there's a growth of 20% plus, because seasonal parameters are beyond our control, and this is well mentioned in the presentation. And so on the full year basis, we expect that we will grow at 10%-15% on top line and mostly on EBITDA also. The EBITDA could be affected this year slightly because there were expenses for merger and acquisition which were charged, so that probably the growth in EBITDA might not actually be translated, because it was one-time expense. And as you have seen, that we participated in Medlab, and we had very good response from our partner distributors, customers. So we continue to maintain a very good brand lead. Our customers are satisfied. We are progressing well in terms of R&D, product development. And in India, the molecular diagnostic, it's in a nascent stage. So it's a small part, especially the reagent market, which we actually represent. So we are not into the closed system. We are not into the sample-to-answer system. We are not into point of care. So all those markets are not addressable for us. Therefore, the total addressable market is around 400 crores-500 crores, approximately. And we are almost 12%-15%, which is quite high, and so maintain that position itself is a challenge. Exports, we are doing pretty well. We are exporting now to 70 countries. Through PCR, Europe is doing pretty well because they are exporting to not only Europe, Middle East, Latin America, and a lot of other countries. The Made in UK is giving them a very good response. And they are growing, of course, at 20% plus. Some countries, the registration process takes time, so the actual sale would get deferred, but the process is started. So our exports will grow slightly higher, 15 to 20%. Overall, we'll grow by 10 to 15%. And that's it. I think it's better that we take the question and answer, because most of the information we have given in the presentation. Over to the question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time and fairness to others, we request you to restrict to two questions per participant and rejoin the question queue. One moment, please, while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Sagar Tanna from Alchemy Ventures. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for your opening remarks. You mentioned that we are in the reagent business and not in the open or closed systems. Is that correct?
No. So you see, when we say open system, we mean reagent. So, you know, we are supplying kits. So we consider it as a reagent.
Okay.
Or you can say that we are into the open kits market, to be very precise.
Sir, any new kits, especially when we see some of your peers who are large and sizable, maybe they may be doing just a couple of segments, but they are in the closed system that helps kind of keep competition away. Any thoughts in terms of newer products, newer segments, or, you know, getting into closed system kind of kits?
No, so we are already doing a sample to answer machine, which is a segment by itself. So we are also developing automated extraction. We are trying to develop kits, you know, which are highly multiplex, like our respiratory panel, AMR panel. So that gives us the continued growth that we are actually foreseeing or telling. So once we have this sample to answer machine, probably in the next quarter, so this will have a different segment to be addressed. Then we are working on a POC system, but it will take some time.
And what are the segments that we are targeting, sir?
So we are into infectious and oncology. So those are the two segments only we target.
And that is where we will continue to focus on, even from the newer systems.
Yeah.
Got it. And sir, my second question is on our UK acquisition. How is that helping us both in terms of newer products, technologies, etc., and how do we synergize both India versus the UK?
So first, let me clear. We acquired our UK distributor who was already selling our kits in UK.
Right.
The object was to have those profits which the distributor was having come into the company and to have a subsidiary established in Europe, specifically in UK. So we could transfer the kit from here in bulk form, manufacture them there for a faster delivery to the customer, have a UK team available for tech support at the same time zone, have a made in UK kit which will have better credibility. So this was the purpose, and it is doing its purpose. If you see our presentation slide, you will notice that UK is now contributing heavily to the exports that we are doing.
Got it. So what I meant was actually not UK, the recent acquisition that we did a couple of quarters back.
Oh, that is Belgium.
Belgium, sorry, my bad.
So Maybe after one or two years, if we do one or two more acquisitions, then we might have to give them proper numbers. Anyway, so if you're talking about CORIS, so CORIS is a standalone business separate. They're into lateral flow, which is a POC, and they do AMR products. So they have got several AMR products. They have got few AMRs in the pipeline, and they have started the U.S. FDA registration, which will allow them to enter the U.S. market. So for next 2 years, they have got growth strategies with new products, U.S. FDA, so untapped market. And this is how they will continue to grow for at least 2 years, and then after 2 years, we'll see how the product range is shifting. Otherwise, AMR should actually become more in demand. Just now, like in India, it's not mandatory to do a AMR check before giving an antibiotic. So once it becomes mandatory, like in Europe or U.S., things will change for testing.
Are we able to synergize the India versus Belgium operations in terms of technology transfer or anything else?
No. So just now, because it is a recent acquisition, we are trying to make them work on a standalone basis. We are integrated. We were earlier also selling the products that they were doing. We were importing raw materials from them, making them here, interacting on the QC part, and then offering it in India. So India, we are offering their products itself. So gradually, after 2 months, because just now they already have enough to do in terms of R&D, in terms of regulatory, in terms of market. So there is no need to push further. We are, of course, trying to tell them to offer the PCR kit through their network. But it is very recent acquisition, so it will take some time, because to have access, understanding of a new technology and their distributors accepting a new product, but that is in agenda.
Got it. And sir, what would be the cost for the U.S. FDA approvals, et cetera?
It could be somewhere between $300,000 approximately to 400 maybe.
And how long would it take for the approvals, et cetera, to come through and penetrate those markets, start distributing in those markets?
Our regulatory approvals take 1 to 2 years. The moment you have the approval, then you start penetrating the market, which is a process by itself. So again, to have the full effect come into the company, it should be, I think, maybe 3 or 4 years from now.
Got it. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Ganesh from Dhanlaxmi Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible.
Yeah. Sir, I just wanted to know, for the past 1 year or more than that, we have been calling out increase in competition. So what may be the reason for competitive intensity to increase now? So my point is, one would assume that competitive intensity would have been immediately higher after COVID because of the excess capacity, et cetera, and players trying to get market share post-COVID. But now that it has been 3-4 years since COVID peak for the industry as such, why are we seeing competition increasing now?
I think this is a very basic question. Any industry which has a high margin, it will have competition. If you just see mobile industry, where it was and where it is today. So new players keep coming. I can't ask them, why are you coming? It's a very simple thing, you know. When the margins are literally low, then probably competition might not come. But when they see that margins are there in molecular compared to biochemistry or other things, each of these players who is already into the diagnostic industry, either selling reagents for biochemistry or ELISA, where the margins are very low, so they try their luck, or they enter into the molecular diagnostics. So there are companies who were in culture. They have come into molecular diagnostics post-COVID. So there were companies in ELISA. They have come into molecular diagnostics because the molecular diagnostic is having a higher margin profile. Of course, the sales volume is lower compared to ELISA, culture, biochemistry. So this is the reason why people are coming, and I think they will keep on coming because no industry can be barriered from others to enter. So if there is a margin, you tell me a good lucrative margin business, I will explore if I want to enter that or not. That's what we keep doing. Okay.
Understood, sir. And my second question was, sir, with respect to the change in credit period that you are now giving, so what would be the change per se right now with respect to what you were giving earlier? And what are the associated question would be like, what are the metrics that you use that to ensure that receivables don't go bad? And corollary to that would be, what are the credit terms given by the competitors as such?
So nowadays, our industry, easily people are taking 3 to 4 months and it spill over up to 5 months because a lot of suppliers goes to government and there is a time-taking process. Labs also try to take advantage of long credit cycle. And competitors offer the same scenario. They, if we are offering 4 months, they will offer 5 months if asked. So, because the customers are mostly the same, or even if new labs are coming, who are established there, it's not somebody settled or joined the started a business overnight. So, money going bad is very, very less probability. In any business, you always have some percentage which is very low, which can get sticky. But credit now is a very, very important part for giving business, and it will continue for some time.
Okay, sir. Sure. So earlier we were giving like, say, whatever the competitors are offering, now we are on par with the competitors' terms.
Yes.
Okay. And one last question, sir. We are also trying to develop, as you said in the opening remarks, a sample to answer system. So we are developing the hardware part as well, or are we giving it as an contract manufacturing agreement?
No. We are OEM doing an OEM for the machine, because developing hardware for a sample to answer will take 2-3 years.
Okay.
And we are optimizing our kits onto that machine.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I'll join back in the
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Dharmil Shah from Dalmus Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I just had one question on the revenue side. You mentioned 24 crore is what the revenue is for Cores for the quarter. Of this, how much would be the one-off revenue if you can explain?
One-off means the HAT contract.
Yeah, the HAT contract, the government.
So it was 850 euro, 850K. So if you multiply that with 104.
And roughly around 8 crores or so.
Huh?
Roughly so around 8 crores then.
Yeah, 8.8 crores. That is the one-off revenue.
But this one-off, you mean as in, would this be recurring every year? I mean, is there a possibility
for
this?
I think we have explained regarding the HAT contract. So actually, it was a contract for 6 million, which was received in February 24, and it was to be supplied in 4 years. So logically, it is 1.5 million every year. So out of which they have already supplied 2.1 and 1.35 this year. This year was lower because it is mainly supplied to Congo, so where there is a war going on. Now next year also, we'll expect somewhere around 1.5, but we don't know the quarter. Normally it is at the December ending quarter. And next year also it should be somewhere around 1 to 1.5. And again, it will be in the December quarter. And that way, 6 million contracts will get finished. So it is not there in every quarter. That is what we mean by one-off effect.
Yeah, not every quarter, but at least for next 2 years, the business would be coming in.
Yeah. And by 2 years end, the US FDA will come in. So then if this gap comes, because WHO has a mandate that the HAT disease should be eradicated. So if they find that the disease is actually eradicated, then they will stop by. If they find the disease is not eradicated, then they will take a new test.
And if we look at our performance ex of Coris business, I mean, the growth is not very strong, at least on the domestic side. Exports, we are still growing by around 26%. Group PCR is growing strong.
So, you know, but the domestic, this point we have already explained. So, suppose if we say that last year dengue and flu was not there to the intensity that it is in this year, you know, lower intensity, then we are going at 20%. If we take that spike, which is a fact, then we are growing at almost 11.4%. And we have also given a clear guidelines that this year, overall, we will grow at 10 to 15% and exports will grow at 20%. Now, I think this is the visibility we can see for next few months. Once the year has ended and we are into a new contract, new tenders, new products, then we can think what would be the growth for the next year, whether it would be substantially higher or on a similar pace. So one of the reasons that we are now, if we are commanding 12 to 15% market share in the Indian market, there's little room, you know, for growing. And when we launch new product, it takes time for the lab to adopt it. And the industry, people say it is growing at 7%, 8% CAGR. But I think these are all economic numbers. If you compare or remove dengue or flu spike which happened last year, the industry has not grown. Because even all labs were having that volume of dengue flu for almost 2.5 months. Everything was flu and dengue. So I think for this year, an overall growth rate of 10 to 15% and exports of 15 to 20%. And then let's join another con call to have a better view for the year after that.
Understood. The question was more around, I mean, I was just looking at the quarterly number. I get your point that 4.2 crores of seasonal spike because of dengue, chikungunya, and that suppresses the growth for the current year. But, I mean, are you seeing a trend where every quarter gone by the growth rates, at least in the domestic business, is coming down for the industry?
I will not go by quarter on quarter. It's a very, very, because we have seasonal diseases, so one quarter will be affected, other won't be. I would prefer to go it on a yearly basis and a half yearly basis.
Understood. And you mentioned that competition is increasing because obviously the margins are higher.
This is a fact.
So just wanted to check, I mean, are there not any areas where we can venture into any adjacent segments? Because I mean, you mentioned getting into newer technologies, but again, those are focused again on infectious and oncology. So apart from this, I mean, are there any avenues to get into some other related business?
We are exploring, but we will keep focus on the diagnostic segments only because that's where is our experience. And we will look for other acquisitions. If they give a better product, we will take them into Indian market that's always there, like Chorus. So there is enough in terms of product in the in vitro diagnostic, molecular diagnostic industry to fill on, to add on, to go into another industry. If we find something, you can also suggest, we can also explore it.
Yeah, I was asking more about, I mean, similar industry, but something which is more connected or related to the existing business.
No, so we are already doing that. No? We are developing GDPCR products so that technology remains relevant to us. For us, NGS also we are developing so that we are relevant to us. We are adding almost 5 to 7 products every year into our own this thing. So there is enough to do in our industry to actually maintain the growth rate of 10 to 15%. Going into any other technology which is not molecular, that's not in our agenda immediately.
Yeah. And lastly, the increased competition you mentioned, these are already the players which are already manufacturing maybe culture related or something of the other which labs might be already using. How long does it take these guys to, I mean, replace you, let's say, for a customer? I mean, firstly, how easy or difficult is it, and how long would these guys to take?
No. So competition actually comes and eats into the margin. Replacement is not so much. And firstly, to develop a high-quality product, it takes almost 1 or 2 years. Then getting the regulatory approval, another 1 year. Then going to a customer who is actually locked to us or is satisfied with our kits. It doesn't crack immediately. But some small distributor or some small lab, they try to enter. So it's not overnight. And especially these people, they go into products which are high volume. So suddenly you will have flu, which is high volume. So if our price realization is X, the market will try to go down like it did in COVID. Then we have to take a decision whether we also want to reduce the price or should we allow the competition to enter.
And at what stage would this competition be? I mean, are the competitors still at the approval stage where they are still trying to get
They are there everywhere. They are there in developing products. They are there like flu, dengue, chikungunya. They are already existing for the last 3-4 years. Post-COVID, more people have come into play. So this year, if somebody new will come, I don't know. But whosoever was there in 24 and 25, mostly he should be around. Or maybe because there was a less of a season, I'm hearing that some small players are actually withdrawing from the market. Because for them, selling 2 or 3 crore of product, if it vanishes, so it's not good for them.
Given molecular is a very high margin business, what do you think, at what level should the competition saturate? I mean, otherwise the competition will keep on increasing. What do you think would be a sustainable level where the market would be mature and maybe not so much competitive from the pricing?
I really don't have an idea on this subject, you know, that to comment. I would focus on my business, try to maintain this 10 to 15% growth, try to maintain a healthy EBITDA margin. This is a question, you know, which a statistician might be able to answer, that when the competition stop coming, that is difficult for me to answer.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you so much for answering that. All the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ganesh from Dhanlakshmi Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you once again for the opportunity. I forgot to point out this in the earlier part. Thank you very much for putting out this investor presentation in a very detailed manner. So it resolves a lot of queries that we might have and gives a very clear idea of what are one time and what are not one time, etc., etc. So thank you very much. So I'll just head back to my question. So in the same presentation, you have called out participation in ADLM USA. So I just wanted to know what are we showcasing there? Are these Chorus products or 3B products?
So we'll be showcasing all three companies. Chorus, PropiCR Europe to put forward the made in UK, and 3B, which is like the Asia Pacific, Middle East, Africa. So ADLM is basically a US focused event, but a lot of Latin American players come, also Europeans come. And now, because we have money, we want that we are present in most of the important events globally. And Chorus would definitely, because by July we should have a visibility regarding the FDA. Our own products are established, and maybe we get a US distributor who can sell research use products. We will have Latin American distributors who we are already exporting, and maybe we get some more. So this is the first time we'll be doing ADLM. It's logistically very difficult for us. It's like, you know, 20 hours flight and all those things. But let's try and then see what's the outcome.
Understood, sir. So just as an add-on, we are already present in USA through Chorus, right?
No, Chorus is not present in USA. Right.
Okay,
now.
This is the first time we are applying for FDA approval for carbide.
Yeah.
Okay. So because my point was, we have mentioned or we have shown depicted USA as a point in the map, global map that we show in the presentation. That is why the question was.
No. So 3B sells some products to US. It's through an OEM partner, and it's already incorporated in our exports. And Europe also ships some from UK. It go to US. So we are there in US, but it's hardly there, you know, in terms like maybe we are there in New York, New Jersey. So only 3-4 states.
Okay, for these kind of distribution, we don't need FDA approval, is it?
No. That's why if a lab wants to buy a product from us, they can buy a research use only, import it.
Research use, okay, lab. Understood.
Yeah,
got it. Sir, one more question was with respect to TPE, that is PropiCR Europe. So we have seen in general that the growth rate of TPE is generally trending lower. So my question was, have we already hit a high bar of geographies where we can penetrate through TPE? Meaning, are we already a leader or amongst the top in the geographies that TPE generally targets?
No. So basically, there are several areas where TPE is trying. Product registration is happening, or distributors are just getting onboarded. So the journey will continue. But when we did from small number, there was a good jump last year. This year, that jump is not happening. Next year, as we say, exports will grow higher. So probably in the year end con call in May end or June, we will speak upon it. But through this year, the journey will continue. It's not that we are saturated. That is not the case. Because
typically, how does the intensity play out? I mean, the targeting play out between TPE and Chorus now? I mean, I understand that Chorus is mainly into lateral flow, and true PCR is in mainly PCR type of technologies, as well as we also have certain lateral flow products. So how is it bifurcated? I mean, who targets who? How is it decided?
So Chorus is purely into lateral flow, and 2PCR Europe is purely into PCR kit.
Okay.
There is no demarcation required, because that is two different product range, two different expertise those both the companies are having. So, okay.
Understood, sir. One of the last questions that I had is with respect to the strengths that we always portray, which is also true as well, that is of asset sensitivity, specificity and workflow efficiency. Also the main point being high number of SKUs that we have to, you know, like ensure customer stickiness, such that the customer procures from only one party, etc. So these kind of metrics or these kind of properties, one would assume would give you more stickiness or more bargaining power with respect to customer. Does it translate on the ground in such a manner, or on the ground realities are different? I would appreciate an answer with respect to this.
No, you are absolutely correct. So our offering a wide product range is one of the reasons people, you know, want to buy a product from us, so that they can buy most of the onco products from us, most of the infectious products from us. And then having large number of SKUs is one aspect. The main aspect is the quality, tech support, timely supplies, customer handling. So all this put together gives the stickiness, which you have rightly said.
So this does give us a bargaining power with respect to our competitors, or?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, sir. And one last point, sir, with respect to synergies, you briefly touched upon this before as well. I understand that it is too early for synergies to actually play out, but I would just appreciate a bird's eye view or a very top level view on with respect to the customer acquisition or cross sell or ease of access in new geographies with respect to Chorus acquisition, whether we are able to like truly integrate our product, PCR products, that is, with in the Chorus ecosystem and in the supply chain. So I just wanted top level.
Basically, firstly, we have mandated that Chorus should grow, try to become EBITDA positive. So the entire team is tuned to this vision. Now, on this part, we say, okay, please onboard PCR kits also. Try to give it to your distributors who are interested. But I am not getting pushy, because I don't want them to lose the focus. So around 5% of their sales, or maybe 2%, 3% of the sales in next year can be from PCR kits. They have inquiries. But so the moment the traction starts, you know, that a distributor buys the PCR kit and the end user also uses it and there's a good demand repeat, then that thing will automatically culminate, because then I have to point some people also, because currently whatever their staff is, it's already dedicated for the lateral flow. So I want to do it on a gradual basis, so that the M&A, you know, is not affected by any sort of change of vision. So Chorus vision to grow as a lateral flow company, as an AMR company, to focus on US geography, to focus on unrepresented market. What is their strength? They need to do it. Alongside, we have already shared all the materials and other things, and we have tried to train them into PCR. But we are hoping, or rather targeting also very small numbers, so that they are not into pressure to do this.
Okay, sir. Understood, sir. Thank you very much for patiently answering all the questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Raja Narula, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, dear Indra, you can hear me?
Hi, Rajatji.
Hi. Firstly, thanks for doing these investor calls. Very appreciated. I think most of the questions on Chorus were answered already. I had a couple that weren't. So I think first is on the HAT order. So that's a pretty lumpy order, right? And you said in the investor PPT that there is a sunset on that contract. So just want to get your thoughts and learnings so far with working with the team. Is there any scope of renewing that contract with the government, or is there a plan then to replace that revenue once the contract ends?
I already answered this, you know, that for next 2 years, at $1.5 million, it should continue till that $6 million is finished. In parallel, we have already started the US FDA work. So most probably in one or maybe less than 1.5 years, we should have the US FDA approval. And when this contract is finished, if the HAD disease is eradicated, then we would be aggressively doing the US market, which is totally not supplied as of now. So we expect that this $1 million gap is, you know, more or less covered. Rather, more can happen because US is a very big economy. So that is the agenda. Plus, Cohance is not present in a lot of countries. Like in Middle East, we participated this time. So their Middle East sales is very low of the overall. They're mostly in Europe. So that will also, you know, help in good thing. So even if this contract has a sunset, we will have another sun rising, you know, from other horizon.
Got it. Got it. I think just to go a little deeper on the US FDA and US strategy, what do you think is like the ideal state for the company with respect to US, right? I think you just shared that they're currently selling a small amount of exports there through an OEM, and then Cohance is going for its own approvals there. And then you had maybe shared in another PPT that we may be looking at acquisition targets there. But just looking like 3 to 5 years ahead, right? If 3B has to become, I don't know, from 150 crores to a 500 crore revenue company, is like the US central to that, or would it be nice to have, or is it a must-have?
Oh, US is a must-to-have. So this time when we go to ADLM, we already have supplies on an OEM and RU. This is on basis. But we'll have more clarity when we are into one-to-one interaction with a lot of distributors. But US is a dominant market for molecular diagnostic. So Cohance already has started the process of US FDA. If we have to take up US FDA, we will discuss with distributors, OEM partners, that now this product is well adapted by the labs. Should we invest in US FDA? And if we do, what is the volume we'll get? So US FDA is important for our growth, and definitely we are doing it.
Got it. Thanks. Super helpful. Last one was around NSE listing. I think you shared a few quarters ago that we would actually only become eligible by sometime second half of this year based on NSE requirements. So just wanted to check whether this is on the company's roadmap and whether this is
actually just now. We want to focus on, you know, developing more kits, doing M&A and this thing. And once we have the audited results for the March, post that, we can take up this NSE because there is a clear-cut requirement for paid-up capital and net worth. 3 years will actually finish off in September this year. Rather, they have finished off. So instead of trying to make the authorities, because once we apply, they might say, okay, let's get the audited figure. So instead of trying to play it short of 6 months or so, let's have the audited numbers and then try to approach it.
Got it.
Post-March.
Thank you very much. Very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. We take the next question from the line of Ranvir Singh from Nuvama Wealth and Investment Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, moderator. Sir, questions on balance sheet side. What would be the current cash position post that Cohance deal?
Ranvir, it's somewhere around 190, but exact number I won't be able to comment, but somewhere around.
Okay. Okay. No, fine. Fine. That's it. So, apart from Cohance, are we still scouting for new such opportunities?
Yes. 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 Definitely. So what we were thinking, that at least 50 odd we keep reserved for the company, and 130, 140 is what we can target to have an acquisition. And we are very actively looking. We have appointed two consultants. We ourselves dedicate almost 1 hour or 2 hours searching for company. That is the top of the agenda to acquire a company.
Okay. Nice. And here in Coris IT, you have given revenue growth expectation. In EBITDA side, because this quarter was had some one-off, how this EBITDA is going to, we can see the transition here, because the positive EBITDA you have talked about, but any ballpark number if you could give that, what kind of EBITDA?
No, for this year it will be negative. We have already mentioned that, you know, for 12 months it was an EBITDA loss of 325K. Even the 3 month grace period that they have got, like 15 months to, you know, you make the uniform financial year for all of them. For next year, we are trying that we are EBITDA positive, maybe 2% or 3% of the revenue. Because, you know, in Europe, sales salaries are very high, and Belgium is one of the highest paid companies, countries for manpower. So here, the R&D team is heavily paid. 10 people are there in R&D out of the 32. So whatever products they have developed or are developing, that needs to be commercialized in a better way. So the sales increases and the cost of manpower comes down. So it's a transition. And so next year we are targeting that it should be EBITDA positive and somewhere between 2 to 4% positive EBITDA.
Okay, nice, nice. And here, in terms of gross block there, what kind of assets the Coris is having? So they have, just I wanted to understand what kind of depreciation we will be taking there on assets of Coris.
So Coris depreciation, let me just check how much we have charged this year.
Or if you could just give the kind of gross block there we have.
Huh? Okay. So last year, the depreciation that they charged was 2 crore 35 lakhs.
Okay.
And this and their gross block is almost, say, 20 to 25 crore.
Okay. And for this year, consolidation will be for only 2 quarters, right? From this Q3 and Q4.
Yes, and some 33 days for September.
Yeah.
Because we took the acquisition on 29th August.
Hmm. So whatever loss they have incurred earlier, that would not be consolidated.
Yeah. No, no, no. That won't be coming.
Okay. Okay. And your presentation showing that European IVDR certification we are trying for. So if you could explain how this is going to benefit us.
So actually, you know, post 28 May and even post May 26, sorry, 20? No, no. So if you see the European authority, firstly, they gave a new regulation that if you are not IVDR compliant, then after May 26, whichever product you have not put in an application with a notified body, that product will become recertified. And once you have the agreement and the audit and the technical certification under IVDR, which we have already started, then you can continue to sell as a CE IVD product. So what is happening is all the molecular diagnostic or other diagnostic companies, because the notified bodies are very less, it's an expensive proposition. So suppose today we are having 100 products as CE IVD. So we have taken forward only 35 to 40 products. which actually are contributing 95 or more percentage of our revenue. The moment we have this IVDR during next 6 to 9 months, then the IVDR, because distributor's lab, now the question is your kit IVDR? Because they want to continue using FCE IVD product. So if a company has not started an IVDR process, then the lab will have an answer that no, our kit is not going to be IVDR. So the lab, if it is a normal product which can be offered from other companies, they will try to opt for an IVDR. That is the main benefit that will happen. Because it is an expensive proposition, each company is only taking forward those products which are giving revenue to them. Not every product. Even Coris has selected 3 products or 4 products to take forward for IVDR. Not all of them. There are products, you know, from where Chinese competition is too much. Doesn't make sense to do IVDR for those products. So this is the entire thing.
So then we'll be able to sell it in every part of Europe. So this certification will open door for entire Europe, right?
Yeah, yeah. It will open, or rather, whatever we are already supplying to the lab, that we can continue to do. There won't be a disruption in the site.
Okay, okay. And last one, that is next generation sequencing vertical that you know started a year back. How is the traction? Now we see that traction is good, but in terms of revenue or profit, how things are there?
No, NGS traction is very low, because NGS now, every lab is moving into higher machines and trying to have larger panels, you know, made OEM, because a very stiff competition is there in the Indian market. Our purpose of doing NGS was to remain technology relevant. So if, for example, PCR has to be sort of, you know, finished in next 4 or 5 years, and NGS would be only technology. So that time. So we are already there as a product. But the competition in India is, I won't call it competition. The labs to whom we will sell, they are already trying to develop their own NGS panel, because another company, another of their competitors is offering the test at a very low price. So they cannot afford. We don't have any margin left, you know, if they buy from us. For exports, we have the product ready. It's a research use only, because IVDR is not possible for NGS. We just, if the product was already there, IVD, before May 22, it was not the case for NGS. So exports, now we are getting some traction. But because most of the labs who are in NGS, they have already adopted a product. So for them to switch over to a new product, it's a long time process. So NGS is not our key strategy, because as a frank listing, the margins are very low in NGS. So that doesn't interest me. It was purely done to be technologically relevant. So if there is a threat to PCR, then we can offer NGS. We can immediately offer, but the margins are low, so it's not of our interest. And NGS numbers which come, actually US is the major player in NGS. That's how, you know, it becomes so big. But it's not actually, the numbers are big, but companies are losing money. If you try to Google, dig into the companies which are into NGS, you will be surprised to note that lot of them, or most of them, are losing money. So it's good that we have it as a technology relevant. If suddenly PCR has to be disappeared for infectious, which is our 60-65% of our sales, there is no NGS product. For oncology, we have quantitative kits. We have small kits, you know, where you can find out the status of a patient within 24 hours or 12 hours. NGS doesn't become sensible for that. So our market, we are protected, or you would say that there is no threat of NGS. NGS is mainly into very high genetic, that is a whole genome sequence. So an individual is whole genome is sequenced and 4,500 genes are done. And then a database is created. And either you would go for not a whole genome, maybe a smaller genome, which could be like genes which are more actionable. So NGS on a short basis, we are not an NGS company, but we are prepared with the NGS. If sometime down the line, for next 4 to 5 years, I don't see any threat from it.
Okay, okay. That's nice. And because we are in biochemical enzyme and this kind of business, I see a lot of IVD side, a lot of innovations are happening. New products are coming in. So are we thinking anything to do there in IVD side or like quick testing type of, you know, strips or different kind of things people are coming with? So are we thinking anything to do there, or you will remain in the business?
Actually, we always keep on looking into technology. And strip testing, Goris is the main person there. We are also trying to do certain developments on our products which are in PCR, but if they can be converted into a strip. So we are always looking into it. But it's not something which is immediately foreseeable.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot, sir. And despite your, you know, throat congestion, I can understand you have given us chance to participate here. And from my side.
Thank you all. Of course, my throat is bad, but then this was important, so I did it. Thanks a lot for everybody's time and patience.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participant, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you all for joining, and apologies for the inconvenience caused. So we try to give most of the information, and I thank you for the patience and the questions. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Nuvama Wealth and Investment Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.